here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Alex.
And welcome back to On Air, everyone. It is Farnborough week and our very own Alex is there. How's it going? And where exactly are you right now?
I'm in Disneyland. I mean, this is Disneyland if you are in aviation. I'm coming to you live from one of the chalets now. It's early on Wednesday morning, meaning it is the beginning of day three here at Farnborough International Air Show 2024. This is the beating heart of the global aviation sector this week because it is that global gathering of airlines, suppliers, manufacturers, and everyone in the aviation ecosystem coming together. I mean, I guess the best way to explain it, Dan, is visually and in terms of how the day kind of goes ahead, it all looks a bit like Formula One, right? But for aviation.
Yeah.
So I had a few people who were here who used to work at Formula One, and they said it reminds us of F1, and that's because, you know, instead of the cars racing, you've got the aircraft participating in an impressive flying display every lunchtime. So that's kind of the race aspect. We're all watching from corporate hospitality chalets. You've got the golf buggies going back and forth on the tracks around, shuttling customers to aircraft, suppliers to manufacturers, and so on and so on. And I don't know if you can hear now because we have quite sophisticated audio on the podcast, so I think it's drowning it out, but I'm literally talking to you over quite a loud aircraft that is practicing for this afternoon's display. It's all really exciting. I'm missing you here. I've met 100 people who have said to me, "Where's Dan? Where's Dan? Oh, can we come with you to say hi to Dan?" I'm like, yeah, that's going to be quite the journey.
Yeah, it's crazy how many also like other YouTubers are there because we went together in 2016, I think.
Yeah.
And you convinced me to come. I was like, fine. I shuttled over on some Norwegian flight from Gothenburg, showed up. And genuinely for me, I totally understand the value of going for you, but I feel like I just showed up and I was like, what am I doing here? Like no one wants me here.
That's what happens when you walk into an airport, when you attend a party, when you pop around your friend's home.
I mean, genuinely, I felt more like that than I've ever felt at Farnborough because I was just like,
poor kid.
I'm just like, who is that? I literally have nothing to do here. I made a video, but it's like, even I didn't think the video was so interesting. Maybe I'm not an air show person, but I think for you, you're going to the press conferences and you find that, you know, very interesting. I'm like, I'll read about it online from the comfort of my house. So.
And I'm like thinking, no, I'm not reading about it online. I want to be in the room where the decisions are made. And also, you know, it's a unique time to be able to meet those in the industry that we otherwise wouldn't see. I mean, there are many people here that I only ever see at Farnborough, which takes place every 2 years. So suppliers and aircraft ecosystem companies that are based, you know, in different parts of the US, you know, smaller cities that don't get out much, but they come to Farnborough. But also, you know, the heavyweights and those that are really behind the scenes shaping and driving the direction of air travel. And it's funny because yesterday somebody was asking me, okay, so at Farnborough, you know, is this how the industry decides it's going to, you know, make its decisions that will ultimately shape air travel over the next 2, 3, 4, even 10 years? And the answer pretty much is yes, because if we look at demand globally, and I'm speaking not just, you know, specifically in this season or this year, but in terms of, let's say, the next 10 years, the trajectory of as we have discussed is that air travel demand will continue to rise, right? And so the only way that airlines are able to meet that growing demand is to be able to grow in terms of their network, but also capacity. Now, how do you grow capacity? Well, you need more seats to be able to offer to more passengers. More seats means more aircraft. Now, where do you negotiate as an airline the best rates? Where do you negotiate? Oh, I'm getting a little husky. It's day three and it's kicking in. Where do you negotiate as an airline in terms of, you know, the best rates for ordering new aircraft and really squeezing the engine suppliers and the manufacturers on the best prices and also securing early slots? Well, this all happens here at Farnborough Airshow, and you have airlines buzzing about on golf buggies going from one chalet to the other, where they are signing deals, negotiating, and crucially, Dan, which I think is one of the main parts of this year specifically, all the airlines are trying to negotiate earlier slots, because just to put things into context, Airbus have a backlog now of well over 7,000 aircraft. It quite literally means they wouldn't need another aircraft order for several years and would still have several years worth of production left to continue to satisfy the order book. So it's, you know, this is the business of dreams, aviation, and I'm coming to you live from Disneyland. It's a shame you're not with me.
Basically, Farnborough is, all the airline executives of Farnborough are like us in Paris. They're running around like, do you do that refund, please?
that negotiating a little more than the, you know, 20 euros that you got back at the fourth floor of Galerie Lafayette in
20 euros
in Paris.
Okay.
20 euros makes all the difference, especially on this scale as well, when they are, you know. And to put things into context, let's say an airline is ordering a bulk load of 777s, and then they are also taking a handful of 737s. You can bet your bottom dollar, to quote Annie herself, that those 737s will have probably been free because of the way that those negotiating tactics work. So it's, I'm distracted again because there is a beautiful Canadian aircraft that is also rehearsing for later, and it's just, it's whizzing in. We have to get the visuals on the podcast, don't we? Let's try and make a promise that we'll figure out how this will work in the future so that we can be a bit more visual for the listeners.
For future
viewers.
Farnborough. Yes. Yeah, that's true. So I wanted to ask you, because my perception as someone who hasn't been there, who obviously I read the news from every air show, is that this hasn't been the most active air show in terms of orders and news compared to, you know, previous years or Paris, some years, for example.
It's definitely correct. And that's because not every year at Farnborough, and Farnborough happens every 2 years, but not every Farnborough year can be a big blowout, amazing year. Because if you've had a year, for example, which we have over recent years, where everybody's ordering absolutely everything, and we were seeing massive orders of hundreds and hundreds of jets from, for example, from India, from different carriers in Southeast Asia, and really, really, you know, sizable, huge, mega orders. Well, then in the next year, you know, with the exception of the 1 year where it goes to Paris and then it comes back to Farnborough that follows, it can't be of the same level because those airlines are kind of satisfied. They're waiting, right? They're waiting for new aircraft. And so not everyone can announce those huge mega orders. And that's where I think you have to set your expectations realistically. If I order a new load of planes now, I'm going to be waiting years. When I used to come here, just to put things into context, the first time I ever came to Farnborough, I think it was 2008. And
when you were 11.
Yeah. And when when I attended, I was like, okay, this is the every 2 year dream, you know, to be here at Farnborough. And it's amazing because some of the aircraft that I, and these are older aircraft that I've seen specifically like on the military side or whatever, even some of the people, there are people here that I know that I did meet in 2008 when I was 11. And it's funny now, 2024, to be here, and they feel like family members and whatever. But the context that you need is that, yeah, not every year can be the big blockbuster year in terms of orders. Saying that, though, I mean, it has been pretty good, to be honest. I think we're just so used to airlines ordering all throughout the year now that, and they don't seem to save up as much. But for example, I'll take you through some highlights, okay? So Virgin Atlantic have signed for 7 more A330neos. They have one right in front of me now on display here. And they did this order announcement on board. Japan Airlines have signed a firm agreement for 20 more A350-900s, which is really nice. That comes just a day later after it signed for 10 787-9s and took options for 10 more. So that's a decent order on both sides with Airbus and Boeing. Qatar Airways have placed an order for a further 20 Boeing 777X. It's the Dash 9 variant. This order, interestingly, was previously listed by Boeing as an undisclosed customer. So they were waiting for Qatar to announce it themselves at Farnborough. That takes Qatar's order of the 777X to almost 100 aircraft. Now, remember, that is separate to the, quote, big order that Qatar is preparing to place between Airbus and Boeing. And they have launched the RFP for the request for proposal, where both manufacturers will come to Qatar and say, this is what we can do to meet your needs on the wide body side, on the narrow body side. And it's up to the group chief executive, Badr Al-Mir, to make that decision for the carrier. It wasn't just Airbus, though, that secured those orders. We've had Korean Air opening up the whole show on day one with quite a commitment again for 50 Boeing wide bodies, 777X, so the Dash 9 variant, but also the 787-10, which is having a nice little moment. It's also signing MOUs in other areas. Boeing also securing further cargo deals as well on the cargo side. National Air Cargo signed for 4 777 cargo jets. Luxair signed a little small order. Two firm for the 737 MAX 10, options for 2 more. Airbus doing a bit of business as well in terms of some business jet side, but they haven't announced that. But I have on good knowledge that there's a few business rumblings in the background. Vietjet in Vietnam confirming up an order that they had kind of hinted about in February, and that was a commitment, but they firmed it up for 20 A330neos. Again, interesting that they wanted the A330neo to really secure quite a bit of the orders if they were going to announce them at Farnborough here, because it's a bit of an easier aircraft to pick up. If I'm going to order an A350, my God, I better have some kind of good link and connection and in with Airbus to be able to get an earlier slot, because otherwise I'm literally going to be waiting 7 to 8 years.
Yeah, that's a shame for us A350 lovers. Do you think part of why we're not seeing that many orders also mirrors the general sentiment in the industry that we're approaching a period of overcapacity?
I think on the smaller scale, if we zoom in to the next 2-3 years, there is a chance that some markets, but not all, will see capacity ultimately a little higher than demand is. But I really don't think that is true for too long in too many parts of the world. And as I say, if we just look at the 5 to 10 year trajectory on the whole, demand continues to increase. You know, aviation does kind of, you know, peak and then come down and then peak again and come down. And that is really normal. And it's kind of in tandem with the economy as well, isn't it? Yeah. And also everything else that it is inherently exposed to: war, geopolitics, conflict, the prospect of President Kamala Harris or President Trump. Yeah. You know, it's Nikki Haley's big old U-turn. I mean, I need to do a whole podcast episode with you about that. What was that about? What was that? She's saying, for anyone that's unsure, I back Donald Trump. I'm like, hold on. Are you not the woman who literally told me he was a psychopath?
Yeah. No.
So honestly, these guys.
Yeah, we won't get too much into U.S.
No,
politics,
no, you're right. I'm going
this week. I mean, I don't know how much you've been on social media. Like,
oh, quite a bit.
Yeah.
TikTok I'm only and able to do it. I don't
so
have TikTok,
fun
but
this week.
I'm only able to scroll through what's happening in the 10 minutes before I close my eyes at night. That's like the time I'm catching up on socials. And there's so much. Okay, can I start by asking you what the hell Brat is?
Oh my gosh. So I knew about this, but I have become very into it the past few days. So it's, oh my God, this is so not supposed to be on the podcast, but Charlie. Well,
no, but hang on, for the context, I'm asking you this because obviously Biden is now no longer the nominee, right? And so Kamala is receiving those endorsements and everywhere I'm seeing Kamala is Brat. So I was like, well, that's not very nice. All these news networks are calling her a brat. I mean, I never had her down as a brat. Yeah, maybe you're crazy drunk auntie, but not a brat.
So So basically, Charlie XCX, this British pop anthem girl, released an album called Brat earlier this year in June.
I know Charlie XCX. I'm not that much of a dinosaur.
I'm trying, in case our audience doesn't know. So
okay.
Basically, she released an album that has been very, very popular. And like, it's just taking over. There are so many songs that are making, like, you know, people do dances to them. And it's being used a lot. So basically, she, I guess her Gen Z interns or whatever she has, are capitalizing on all these trends. So they've, you know, started branding her to align with this album. There's also all types of other memes with Chapel Roan, who's another big artist who's blown up this summer, where it's like, it's a Kamala, it's a feminomenon or something. She has a song like that. But then they're going, it's a Kamala nomenon or something. So anyway, I've had a lot of fun on social media.
It's funny because the reason why this was obviously on my mind also is because, so I have seen different individuals that are at the top of the industry, including Stephanie Pope, who has been brought in at the top of Boeing commercial airplanes in order to try and put Boeing on the right path. And what I will mention about Boeing here is that Boeing, the reason why I also find Brazil a little quieter is because Boeing, I mean, their presence is very, very small. They have no aircraft here. Usually Boeing bring out everything from defense to 777X, and we get demonstrations of the folding winglets and all sorts, and 737 Max participates in the air show and everything. But Boeing made the decision, Stephanie Pope made the decision, to ensure that while Boeing needs to be focusing on safety and have its, you know, priorities and its get its house in order, they just didn't think it would be appropriate to also be, you know, celebrating when they are in such a crisis. And celebrating by bringing, you know, all these aircraft out and being all loud and brash about it. Actually, they've got to be a bit more humble and grounded because they're in a massive crisis. And there are, you know, a lot of people very, very angry and concerned with Boeing, as we've discussed in depth. Anyway, I heard Stephanie Pope mention about how...
She's a brat.
No, I heard her mention about that they were also now having to keep an eye on the developments with US politics and what impact a President Trump administration, you know, second time around, will have on their attempts to try to sort out Boeing. And I think that's where we've discussed in previous episodes, Trump has been really outspoken. He's like, you know, Mr. USA and loves everything that comes out of the US. Yet he referred to Boeing as batshit Boeing.
Yeah.
He referred to Boeing as, you know, this aircraft manufacturer that has lost its way and makes broken planes and blah, blah, blah. I would imagine they're kind of worried at the direction and the, you know, the prospect of all this uncertainty with US politics and the election on November 5th. Will you be voting?
Well, yeah, of course. And by the way, it's so cool that Harris is a prosecutor. So, you know, if I were, obviously she won't be a prosecutor as president, but you know, maybe Boeing wants to have someone who's a bit more easy to win over, like Trump. I don't know.
I just hope we see more of the Harris that was prior to her being Veep, because since she's been Veep, she's been like the Veep, woman in Veep.
It seems like a soul-sucking job. It just drains all the life out of you. So,
and they keep her, I think I've heard they kept her out of the discussions, they've kept her out of the loop, they don't pick up the phone, and so it automatically turns them into quite an unsure, weird, you know. And then have you seen that clip of her saying she will not be unburdened by what has been for four straight minutes?
But the great stuff about all this. The great stuff about all this is that Gen Z is turning it into memes in a good way. And like, I feel like from what I see, a lot of people are, they think it's so refreshing to have a Democratic candidate who...
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Is a bit more, I mean, just put a bit more memeable in both a good and a bad way. But like,
are you hearing this, guys? Dan is celebrating the fact that our democratic process across the free world is now ultimately being shaped and determined by how well a TikTok video does amongst Gen Z who probably don't or can't vote.
Yeah, Gen Z can vote, and there's been like a record number of Gen Z registering to vote in the US
in the past few days.
That's so anyway, speaking of the US, there's another, well, shit show that's gone down in the past week all over the world, but it's been particularly bad in the US. I'm sure everyone listening, and of course you, Alex, we've all heard about the CrowdStrike going down, impacting aviation systems all over the world.
What a shit show that was.
Yeah, from crew scheduling to airport gate, you know, airport departure lists and gate lists, that kind of thing. But different airlines have recovered at different speeds. And the supposed most premium airline in the US, Delta, has really, really been struggling. Canceled a huge number of flights in the past several days and has been struggling to recover operations. But what has really been bad here, you know, publicly and optically, is that they have done everything they can to not help their customers. So as opposed to Southwest, which had a similar meltdown a few years ago, Delta is explicitly saying they will not reimburse people who book tickets on other airlines when it comes to compensation for people. Yeah. And when it comes to compensation for people who have had to wait, you know, a full day or several days to get where they're going, they're offering like 5 or 10,000 points, which is worth about $100 to people who have suffered so much through their shambolic operations. And their CEO, Ed Bastian, isn't even coming out and issuing a really public apology. Instead, he's trying to place blame on their quote-unquote vendors.
Isn't today like the fourth or fifth day where there is going to be mass widespread disruption again for Delta passengers?
Exactly. It seems like today things are slightly finally improving. But yeah, it's literally been since the weekend where people have not been able to get through to anyone. There's no customer service agents at many airports Delta flies to. And it's just, it's been a horrible experience. And it's
really shitty of them, isn't it? I mean, to be behaving in that way and to have to force, I mean, now they're in for it because in comes friend of the podcast, Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
Exactly. Right? That's where I was
Transport Secretary. And he's now telling Americans, you guys cannot be forced to XYZ, to sleep on the floor, to not be paid at compensation, to be brushed off by Delta. So
yeah,
now they're in trouble, right?
So this, you know, speaking of the US government and US politics, again, you know, Transport Secretary Pete Buttigieg, he was tweeting over, you know, on Monday, I saw him tweeting that they received he says, I'll read the tweet. We've received reports of continued disruption and unacceptable customer behavior, customer service conditions at Delta Airlines, including hundreds of complaints filed with the US DOT. Sorry. I made clear to Delta that we will hold them to all applicable passenger protections. Delta must provide prompt refunds to customers who choose not to take rebooking, free rebooking to those who do, and timely reimbursements. So basically, he's just regurgitating the current, you know, policies. Obviously, the US needs even better customer protections. And it's especially ridiculous when just literally a few years ago, airlines were bailed out, including Delta, to the tunes of billions of dollars with taxpayer money. And now when it's there, you know, in their most profitable era ever after COVID, suddenly they don't want to help. They don't even want to pay for people to get where they're going on their competitors while they sort things out.
And thousands of passengers have been affected. You know, it's easy for us to just refer to it as disruption and outages and whatever, but it's a shit show. There are hundreds of people sleeping on the floor that have been there since Sunday and it's now Wednesday.
Yeah, okay. I mean, thousands of flights have been cancelled. So we're talking...
Well, it's now over 5,300 flights that have been cancelled since Friday. That is more flights than Delta cancelled in all of 2018 and all of 2019.
That's crazy. So we're talking about almost a million passengers who have likely been affected by this.
And 2 years worth of cancellations in less than 5 days. And this is the US's premium airline.
Yeah, not great. And no. Another, you know, Southwest, we're not going to go too much into this, but now I guess good news is that they're under a safety audit by the FAA because we've seen an incredible amount of near misses there the past few months. Most recently in Tampa, when an aircraft was 150 feet over Tampa Bay and they didn't even notice. It was air traffic control had to notify them that they were seconds from disaster. So there's so much going on in the US. And, you know, I feel like the US
is like somebody needs to like lower that dial on the hob because it's bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. Yeah. And it's, you know, there's just too much. Like, what is happening? I don't remember. It's not. And again, you and I are able to sift through this, right? We know it is not that it is just simply being reported more. It is actually happening more.
Yeah,
right?
It is. And so it is so crazy also how much more it's happening in the US because I spent a big part of yesterday with one of Oscar's relatives who's a pilot for Norwegian. Mm. So I was obviously like interrogating him the whole time. So you fly the Max. Tell me about that. Tell me about all the new recruits and how that is safety wise. And he said that, yeah, there have been a few, not very public things that have happened, but like they almost, new pilots have almost overrun the runways a few times, which hasn't been published much in media. But in terms of their operations and comparing to what we see in the US, for some reason, things are just so much worse there, even though the whole industry is full of new recruits. Both in terms of crew and pilots since COVID. So let's hop right into some Q&A.
My first quick message at the beginning of this Q&A is a very, very happy birthday to Emmy, my friend from school. Right up until now, she is a loyal listener of the podcast. She is an incredibly hard worker. And she has really difficult, I mean, she's on the front line, right? Without going into too much details of what she does. And I find it amazing that she finds the time to engage and be part of our world, given that she's not in aviation and she really enjoys it. So it's really cool. And I'm appreciative of that. Happy birthday, Emmy.
Yeah. Happy birthday, Emmy, my favorite also hater of Alex. Okay. So let's go into some
fake
questions.
News.
Yeah. Let's go into some questions here. I have one here from Alro, who's been waiting quite a while for an answer. So thanks for your patience. He says, if you and Alex could add one nonstop route to the global network, what would it be and which airline would we choose to operate it? This is fun.
I already got mine, Sam. Okay.
What is that?
Mine exist, unlike yours. I got my triangle. Okay, so Doha's direct with Greece and the Greek islands. Doha's direct with Malaga. Doha's well served with the London market. Montreal, I have direct. Cousins in Australia, direct. So yeah. I don't want to be.
Rub
too,
it in. But yeah. I mean, I guess you would have Doha to lose, which is being shut.
I forgot to tell you. Guess who is here? Guess which aircraft is here outside?
What? I mean, okay, I know the 787-9 is
no, no, there. No. I'm not talking about aircraft that people actually like. I'm talking about aircraft that you're familiar with.
Oh, Bra?
Bra is here.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to take a video. I'll go today. Bra is here. The little airline that couldn't from Gothenburg is literally outside. It's about 100 meters away.
Okay, by the way, they are not from Gothenburg, but I'm glad to see them representing. No, but
you flew them as a kid so much, this feminist airline, Bra. Yeah, you did. You still fly them now. You pretend you fly rural airlines, but it's just, you know, stock footage.
Okay, so I'm going to answer for you. You would have Toulouse continue.
Oh, God, you're right. You had to remind me of that.
Yeah,
I'd have Toulouse continue on an A321LR, but they don't exist yet.
Well, so I think if I had to choose just in terms of where the places Oscar and I are looking at living, whether it's in Asia,
exclusive on the podcast. I always wonder where you're going to live.
Well, okay, so. I'm not going to give I'm going to give very general idea, but like whether it's Asia or down under somewhere, whatever it ends up being, that side of the world is very annoying to get to from Gothenburg. So then I think,
oh my God, from Gothenburg.
Which is everywhere where our families is annoying to get live. To from there.
Sorry. I like how you think that the rest of the world is the annoying part and it's not Gothenburg. Newsflash. Okay. The rest of the world prospers with interconnectivity and globalization. Just because your little town isn't part of that is your town's problem, not ours.
So anyway, forget Alex bullying of Gothenburg. If I could add anything, I'm thinking, what is the biggest, most useful hub they could get to wherever we end up living, if it is in Asia or down under? And honestly, I think that would be Dubai. So I would say, this is never going to happen.
Such a build up.
This is never going to happen. But if we could get Emirates A350, Gothenburg, Dubai, let's do it. I would love that.
Sure. And I'll be on the ballot on November 5th, also running for US president. Oh, and pigs will fly, and Boeing will elect Dan as the new CEO, replacing the current leadership. Next question, please.
You know, I wouldn't say it's too unlikely Fly Dubai could launch to Gothenburg.
Okay, Fly Dubai changes the conversation of it. Changes the conversation
but
of it.
But Emirates,
I'll allow it.
I mean, you can't really... Emirates would be cooler with an A350. So Alicia asks, hi Dan, love the podcast that you do with Alex. It's a highlight of my week and I truly look forward to each episode.
Oh, hey.
So regarding the recent guilty plea deal from Boeing in their effort to avoid a trial, the acceptance of the deal could complicate Boeing's ability to sell products. How do you think this could affect deals of Airbus aircraft? And do you think airline passengers and potential Boeing customers will have a change in heart in hearing that Boeing will be meeting with the families of Lion Air and Ethiopian Airlines victims, as well as implementing an independent monitor to oversee compliance at Boeing? Thanks for answering my question. Sending love from Austin, Texas.
Good morning, Austin, Texas.
And, good morning, Austin.
Thank you for the question as well. I think that the current trial where Boeing is, and this is the criminal side of things, right? Not the civil cases, not the cases that are merely going to end up with Boeing being issued further fines. I think this is what Boeing is deeply, deeply concerned about, and understandably so, because there are deep concerns across the industry about the role that it has played over the last few years and how that has ultimately, you know, impacted and led to disasters, right? I think it is always in the interest of Airbus to have a relatively strong Boeing because they share suppliers. It's needed for the safety of the industry, and people automatically think that a weak Boeing means a celebrating Airbus, and that's not the case. We've discussed that before. In terms of how it affects orders, it is continuing to affect orders, but we are still continuing to see airlines order with Boeing. It's not mass exodus by anywhere of the sort. And again, are Boeing able to offer really competitive pricing right now because they know they're struggling in terms of their reputation? Probably. These are closed door discussions, but probably. We go through this in aviation. We haven't been through something quite like this, but we do go through this where one of the two manufacturers who rule the industry, you know, goes through a weaker period and they come back from it. And that's why airline CEOs that I'm talking to are not too worried. Despite, of course, you know, this case is really serious and understandably so. And I fully stand with those that are doing what they can to, you know, to bring justice to those lives that were lost in those two horrendous 737 MAX incidents in Indonesia and Ethiopia.
Yeah, I agree. So another question here from Otto Ginger. He asks, hi, Dan and Alex. Loving the podcast. I have a question regarding airline compensation. Long story short, my connecting SAS flight was delayed 4 hours. I filled out the EU261 form and later got the answer that it was the extraordinary circumstance of lightning.
Here we go.
Is that a legit reason or not? And if not, what should I do next?
Ooh.
So, I mean, first of all, SAS, is there like a bit of a slithery eel when it comes to compensation? They will do anything. I mean, they will do anything to avoid paying it. It's frankly really bad. But in this case, lightning I imagine is an extraordinary circumstance since it's weather related, which is generally considered to be an extraordinary circumstance. I guess there's a lot of questions in turn that aren't provided here in the question, like, yeah. Was your flight out of Copenhagen, their hub, delayed because an inbound aircraft that was supposed to operate that route was hit by lightning?
Or was it that, it could have been, well, look, what I will say is there is an example that I can remember off the top of my head of a case that involved Monarch, who were a leisure airline based out of Luton in the UK, where somebody had taken them to court. And this is online, you can check this. They took them to court because Monarch claimed extraordinary circumstance over a lightning strike, and that's why they wouldn't be paying them compensation. But the judge ruled that while damage caused by a lightning strike, you know, is not, you know, may well be unexpected, and it's not ideal, not something they're actively factoring in, it did not make it an exceptional circumstance or an extraordinary circumstance. And that case is something I would encourage you to look up and then reply back with to SAS.
Yeah.
Because although the civil aviation says that, I mean, for example, in the UK, I know it does say that lightning strikes is in the list of the extraordinary circumstance, that ruling is something that you can strengthen your case with if you go back to SAS with this.
I mean, from experience, I would say SAS aren't the types to just give in. So I would frankly just go straight to one of those agencies that help you with it. You can just Google EU261 help or something. And there's a bunch of agencies that will take like a 20-25% commission, but they will fight for you and they are better at this than an average consumer. So it might be worth just going through them, seeing what they can do. And it doesn't cost you anything unless you win the case. So
with that, guys, we will wrap up on today's episode and give you a quick note that there will be no on-air episode next Wednesday. That's next Wednesday. But we will be back the Wednesday after. And we look forward to catching up with you all then, discussing what has gone down over what will have been then the last 11 days or so. And we'll bring you more also from what happened here as I am about to begin this third day of Farnborough Airshow. We're also going to hear a little bit about your travels, Dan, which is part of the reason as to why both of us are going to next reunite again, not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after.
Yeah, so we won't see you guys next week. We look forward to seeing you on August 7th. We hope you guys have an amazing summer until then. Well, if you're not on the southern hemisphere, then we wish you a nice winter.
Winter is coming.
Yeah, no, winter is leaving then. Luckily, it's coming in the northern hemisphere.
Oh, God, don't start talking about that now in July. Goodness I me. Know.
That's depressing. Anyway, guys, we will see you in 2 weeks on air. Bye-bye.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.